The following podcast of SB Nation Radio is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine. And if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, you can get some extra bang for your buck, too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right, deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101.
This is SB Nation AM,
another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
You know, I warned you guys about this with the NBA media, that they were going to harp on the Lakers' run towards the end of the season as LeBron James tries to get that team into the postseason. And you're already starting to see it. Last night, they lose to the Clippers at the Staples Center, 113-105. And you're already seeing how this is being played out. It's not just a loss. It is a Laker loss trying to get towards the playoffs. It's not even a Clippers victory as they try to position themselves in the Western Conference. And the Clippers have a good position in the Western Conference. But the reality of it is this is going to be about LeBron and the Lakers and his attempt to try to get them into the postseason. The Clippers are seventh right now. They have a lead over San Antonio. That means if they can get a 7 or 6 spot, they don't have to play Golden State in the first round. That's an important story for the Clippers. But the problem is it's a Laker town. But this is also a Laker NBA, LeBron NBA, and that's where the story is going to be. It's going to drive you crazy. It's going to drive me crazy. But the reality of it is that's where this league is when it comes to storylines leading into the postseason in the final 6 weeks of the year. The Lakers are not only on the outside looking in, they're really on the outside looking in. They are like 5 games out of that final spot where San Antonio occupies right now. And it's not looking good. And now they're in a position to not only not make the playoffs, but be in the lottery consideration. Oh, will LeBron sit out games to close out the year? Well, he says no. They're starting to ask him questions like this. This is what you're going to see in the next few weeks, up until at least the point where the Lakers are officially eliminated. But I've got a larger question I want to kind of dive into. LeBron's legacy is not at stake here, right? LeBron is going to make the playoffs with the Lakers eventually. Next year, the year after, he's going to put a team together that's going to get the Lakers competitive again. But do you know what is concerning to me, and I might be the only one here, is that his legacy is messy. And I'll talk about that coming up as we get ready to ponder a NBA playoffs without LeBron James. Oh, heaven forbid. 800-777-2907, the number this morning. It's SB Nation AM. Tony D, Ron Culver, SB Nation Radio.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation AM. We roll along on a Tuesday morning. All right, so LeBron James, is his legacy messy? Let's look at it for a second here. LeBron James is going to go down as one of the greatest NBA players of all time, all right? So there's no question about that. He's a champion. He's an all-star. He's a Hall of Famer. Everything that you could give accolades to, give accolades to. He's one of the greatest of all time. There's no question about that. But he doesn't have his story, his NBA story is a little messy. I think we all can agree on that. It's a little messy, right? I mean, it started with the decision, right, going to Miami, and how that did not play out very well, how he didn't read the public very well, thinking, oh, yeah, I'll have a TV show. I'll announce this, even though I surround myself with kids that I'm going to help with this decision going to Miami. And everyone sort of thought that was awful. It was really a terrible program. It was awful. And he went to Miami and he did the not one, not two, not three, not four thing. He ended up leaving with two championships, which is nothing to sneeze at. I think winning multiple titles in a short period of time, I don't care how you do it, where you do it, what sport you do it in, is an amazing accomplishment. The problem is that's not what he was projecting. What he was projecting was that these three were going to send Miami title after title after title after title, and he fell short of that. And then next thing you know, I'm out of town. I'm going back to Cleveland. So he kicks a city in the head. Then he comes back to that city, and he helps that city celebrate a championship. Now, that to me was a little different than when Kobe was pursuing Michael Jordan's six NBA rings. I think LeBron was always pursuing the one in Cleveland, right? The thought of, I need to go back and get them this. I need to give them this title. So the one he wins in Cleveland carries a lot of weight. It's probably more significant than the two in Miami. Miami had already won a title in 2006, but the city of Cleveland hadn't celebrated a championship in any sport in a 50-year-plus time difference. So LeBron wins that championship, and he leads the Cavaliers to the finals. They lose to Golden State. He comes in at a time where Golden State is forming a super team. So he can't get more NBA championships for the city of Cleveland. The Golden State Warriors are too strong with the addition of Kevin Durant. So what does he do? He quietly and just as like a whisper in the wind, he leaves to go to Los Angeles. Now he's in Los Angeles and he's playing good. When he plays, he's playing well. He's not having an off year. Statistically, he's as good as he's ever been. But the Lakers are a terrible team. He doesn't have anything around him. With the addition of LeBron James to a young Laker team, again, you looked at the Western Conference. It's top heavy, but it wasn't, you know, eight heavy. It wasn't nine heavy. So it wasn't like the Lakers shouldn't have made a push towards making the playoffs. He gets hurt. You know, they suffer while he's gone. It doesn't look like they're making the playoffs. Does this lead to some sort of messy legacy? You can hit me up on Twitter at Tony D Radio. I struggle with this concept because I think LeBron's career has more elements to it than other people's career that have stayed at one team for a very long period of time. You know, look, you can talk about Jordan and the Wizard years and whatnot, but the reality of it is most of his time was spent in Chicago. Kobe's entire career was spent with the Lakers. Larry Bird never left the Celtics, right? Magic always played for the Lakers. Kareem had Minnesota and then the Lakers, right? But LeBron has had a career where leaving becomes sort of the thing you think he's going to do after a period of time. And then he does it. He lives up to that expectation. You speculate that LeBron will spend X amount of time in this place, and eventually he's going to want to leave. And that's exactly what he does. He goes to Miami. He's got his three buddies, two other buddies. They're winning a championship. They win another championship. Then it starts to come apart a little bit. Wants to go back to Cleveland. He goes back to Cleveland. He's got back in his hometown. He gives them a championship. And then after a couple of years, I think I want to go to Los Angeles. He lives up to these expectations of him leaving. That's, we think about this about him, and then he just does that. Now, again, I had to preface this segment by saying I do not think any of this affects how we look at him as a player. He's the greatest, one of the greatest of all times, and to a generation, he is the greatest of all time. Right? The LeBron Magic debate, I mean, LeBron Jordan debate gets kind of old after a while. We've been doing that for a very long period of time. We did it with Kobe and Michael. We, you know, it's just after a while, you just realize that this is more of a generational thing. This is what era you grew up, what affected you the most. Those are the things that really matter in those kind of debates. You can argue statistics, you can argue championships, but in the end, it's about what guy made a bigger impact on your life. You tend to lean in that direction. It's like that with any sport kind of debate. But LeBron's legacy is not just about being an NBA player. It's what do you remember him for? And what do you remember LeBron James for? When it's all said and done, what will you remember LeBron James for? Right? Would it be the decision? Well, that wasn't very good. Was it giving Cleveland a championship? In any sport? I mean, remember, it's not just giving the Cavaliers a championship. The Browns weren't doing anything. The Indians weren't doing anything, right, for that city for 50-plus years. Then that's great. If he wins a championship with the Lakers, which I always said, there's franchises in sports that mean more when you win a title, and the Lakers are one of them. Right, it means more to win a championship with the Lakers than, unfortunately, it would be for the Oklahoma City Thunder. No offense to the Thunder, that's just the way it is. Right, winning a World Series with the Yankees is bigger than winning a World Series with the Tampa Bay Rays. Just the way it is. Right, Super Bowl with the Cowboys or Super Bowl with Jacksonville. Take your pick. That's just the way it goes. So if LeBron does that, well, there's another little thing you can put onto it. But you also have some things that, you know, NBA Finals failures, his inability to get to the championship immediately when he was in Miami, thus making the Dallas Mavericks one of the most popular teams in America at the time. When did we talk about that with any other major superstar, right? Where we were actively, like as a country outside of a certain region, rooting for him to not win because we just didn't like the way it was orchestrated in the first place. A friend of mine said it best to me when we were having this conversation back in 2010, 2011, after the decision. And he said, listen, I know LeBron is going to win championships. I know he's going to win multiple championships. I know that about him. He's that good of a player. I just don't want him to win this one. Because if he doesn't win this one, it feels better for me. I hated the decision. I hated the way it went down. And I agreed with them. And I said, you know what? That's a great way to put that. It's okay if LeBron wins multiple championships. But don't give him this one. Don't give him the year right, the immediate result of them forming the super team and going to Miami, an NBA title. Let Dirk win that one. Let them stew about that over the summer because the decision and the TV show was so disgusting. I told you again at the start of the show, you're going to hear this a lot because LeBron is such a major force in the NBA and his inability to get this Laker team to the postseason is going to be one of the stories. We'll start, in late March, we'll get into seeding. April, we'll start seeing the races, right? Who's in, who's out in terms of the bottom part of the Eastern and Western conferences, or who's going to get that fourth seed and get home court advantage? Who's going to be a six? Who's going to be a two? We'll have those conversations, but LeBron's absence from the postseason is going to be a big deal. It's going to be a story. Where are the Lakers heading? How is LeBron going to strip it down? Who is he bringing with him? Right? Who's going to be the next coach of this team? How is his stamp going to be on one of the most iconic franchises in sports? But his legacy, his overall story in the NBA, because this is just added on, is messy. It is. I'm sorry, it is. And I'm not saying that because he didn't spend his entire career with one team. But think about the roller coaster that he's been on, right? Just from things that were good to things that were not good to things that were not good, things were good. Right back up and down, staying in one spot. Oh, Michael Jordan had the 80s where he could not get over the hump. He could not get past the Boston Celtics. He could not get past Detroit. Then he did. And when he did, he won 6 and 8 years. But then there's that middle of going to baseball. There's that disappearance from the sport and the return of the sport. But it's nothing like this. Where there's such a negative feeling about how he felt about LeBron James in 2010 that some people haven't even gotten over, to be honest with you. Which I always say, listen, let bygones be bygones. I mean, he did return to the city. But as Ron and I talked about over the summer, right? When you talk about the decision, right? To the letter, to the whisper. That's how he's left every team. Big, huge television announcement. I'm taking my talents to South Beach. I'm going to write a letter, and it's going to be in Sports Illustrated. I'm going to talk about my love affair with the region and how desperately I want to get back to achieve something that I should have not left without, a championship. To, I'm just going to sign this piece of paper and join the Lakers. I'm going to disappear for a while. That's the progression of LeBron leaving teams. To me, it's a little messy. It's just a little messy. Doesn't mean it takes anything away from him as a player. But that's what you're going to start seeing down the road how this is going to impact LeBron. And don't be fooled. Listen, don't let those people out there that want those clicks and want those messages, don't let them fool you. Don't let this mark him missing the postseason with the Lakers mark him as it somehow affects his legacy as a player. It doesn't affect his legacy as a player, just as an athlete in general, just the way his story is told in the NBA. That's all I'm touching. Not the points per game, not the assists, not any other on-court accomplishment. Just his overall NBA story. That's kind of what I'm getting at. Because there's going to be people that are going to say, does this mean his playing legacy is somehow stained? No, it doesn't. It doesn't. He's done as best he can with a bad team. And that team is going to be eventually good. But for right now, it's messy. It's messy. All right, coming up, in case you missed it, a couple of stories from Monday that I want to get to that you may have bypassed in your sports news of the day. That's coming up on SB Nation AM.
Listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, doing a repair that needs a special tool? O'Reilly Auto Parts makes it easy with the Loaner Tool Program. Over 80 specialized loaner tools are available, so O'Reilly is sure to have a tool in stock to help you get the job done. Purchase the needed parts and put down a deposit on the loaner tool, then return the tool in original condition and receive a full refund. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. I was getting my oil change yesterday, and I was with my son, and we were talking. And so we were in the bay, and the guys were doing the oil change. And I've gone to this place forever, and so the guy was talking to me. He said, how you doing, whatever, talking. And my son says to me, he goes, you know, I really want to learn how to do all this stuff, you know? So I really want to learn how to fix my car. I really want to learn how, you know, to, and I go, yeah, I can't help you with any of that. I was like, I'm sorry, I'm out. Usually your dad's pretty good at being able to help you with navigating life's journey, but not this one. I have no idea what they're doing underneath the car. I have no idea how this works.
See, I do take pride in the fact that I will be able to teach my son how to change a tire.
I can change a tire. That I can do, yes.
And then I'm about done.
Or
refill the windshield washer fluid.
I can do that. I can do that. And I can check the oil as if know what I'm looking
exactly.
And I wipe it and I go, yes. Apparently I have some stains on this. Apparently it shows that I have enough oil, or maybe I don't. I don't know. We'll find out. That's basically all I know how to do.
I know. I mean, at what color? I mean, I know if it's black,
right?
If it's if it's coming up looking like tar, it's probably time for an oil change. But if it comes up, you know, a little still liquidy, and it's, you know, a little on the darker side, I'm like, hey, you know what? I think we still got more life in this puppy.
I remember one time I was putting in some oil in my car, and I didn't put the cap back on, and I drove, and all of a sudden, white smoke was coming out of
nice.
I was like, geez, I stink at this. So I was like, all right. I think my son did that on purpose, too, knowing I don't know very much about vehicles.
He's setting you up.
Yeah, he's setting me up.
That's what good sons do.
Yeah, like we're a Harry Chapin song, right? I want to be like him, yeah. You know I want to be like him. And my son's like, no, not really.
I
want to learn how to change my own oil and actually learn how to use, you know, fix my car when it breaks.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say he was pointing to the guy doing the oil.
Yeah, right.
Changing your oil. I want to be like him, Dad.
He was so impressed. Like, the guy was like just doing stuff and underneath, and he was like, do this, do this. My son was like, yeah, I want to learn how to do all this. I'm like, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. So anyway, at the I set this up for LeBron's legacy. Do you think it's messy, Ron? Do you think the way this to Miami, it didn't really work out as we thought. Cleveland, it did, but then I got to leave. Lakers not make the playoffs. Is it messy or is it sort of part of the package when you bounce around the league?
I guess what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to compare him to a superstar. You know, like you know, just across professional sports. Like what does his legacy most resemble? And I really can't come up with anybody.
I can't think of a major player It's hard to come up with a major player. I mean, like somebody that it's not just a star. I mean, like one of the best players in the league that is sort of have this resume of just like here, there, back to here, back there. Like just sort of, we don't usually see athletes do that. They're really good for one team for a long period of time. And maybe towards the end they bounce around a little bit, but that's more like, I just want to get a couple more years in.
Like Jordan to the Wizards. Prime.
Yeah, Jordan to the Wizards, which we just sort of chop off and forget. Or Favre with the Jets. It's like, yuck. Throw that off to the side.
And I'm hesitant on calling it Messi because, listen, I mean, he's won titles. He's been the greatest player ever. Even though he didn't win a bunch of them, he went to, what was it, 8 straight or 9 straight? 8 straight finals.
He went to 8 straight finals. And I said that when he went to Miami. I was like, look, I know it wasn't 1, not 3, not 4, not 5. But it was 2 in 4 years, and that's pretty good.
Yeah, that is
I don't care
good.
What people say. If you want to judge him on not winning 7, right, fine. But he did win 2, and winning 2 titles in a short period of time, I don't care what sport it is. That's an accomplishment. Winning titles is not easy. And that's why, you know, Dan Marino doesn't have one. They're not easy. You don't just grab them because you're a good player. You have to have everything. A lot of things go right. He had some things go right. He had a really, really good team in Miami. So I'm not going to take that away from him. There is, though, this story of going down there and thinking they would dominate, and they really didn't dominate, and then he leaves. He gets them 1 title, but he gets Golden State. He runs into the buzzsaw that is the Warriors. Now he's in L.A., and he's got to strip the Lakers down to nothing.
I think it's the 1 title he had in Cleveland that almost completely saves his career.
I agree completely.
Because he had decent players in Kyrie and Kevin Love, but it was really LeBron bringing a title to a city that had not seen success in, you know, almost 1,000 years.
And also, exactly, and that's what I was saying. It's to understand what LeBron was chasing and what Kobe was chasing are two totally different things. Right, Kobe was chasing Michael. He wanted 6. He had 5. He wanted that 6th. He thought that would put him in the conversation. And I never got the feeling LeBron was ever after that. I always got the feeling LeBron wanted 1. And that 1 was give me a parade in downtown Cleveland. And that is going to be worth to me what 6 would mean to Kobe. I want that for my own personal reason. I don't need to compare myself to other athletes and what they've done. Because if I win 6 titles in Miami, that's great. But if I win 1 in Cleveland, it's on the same level. That means so much to those people. Look, Miami already had a championship before he got there. So they already had won 1 with Dwayne Wade and Shaquille O'Neal. They were going to get, the people of Cleveland were looking for a first title from something. Just forget the Cavaliers. From something. And they didn't get it for over 50 years.
Yeah, because he was with the Cavaliers during an era where, I mean, that's a football town. And he was dead smack in the middle of the Browns being a joke.
Right.
Just being the punchline of any football joke that you can possibly think of. Even when the Lions went 0-16, it's like, well, at least they're still not the Browns.
Yeah.
You know? Right. I mean, and that's how bad it was. I mean, the Indians, you know, they're kind of this like a little anomaly that just exists on Lake Erie. And, you know, you guys made the World Series. How cute. You know? But you don't ever really take them serious. And they could have won like 5 straight World Series and Cleveland still wouldn't be a baseball town. But I think it was just the fact that, and even if LeBron wasn't with the Cavaliers when they won, it probably wouldn't mean as much as the fact that it was the golden child, the Northeast Ohio bred kid who brought that region a title. He was born to do it, and I just don't know. I mean, yeah, you know, we can harp on it right now because he's with the Lakers, and obviously they're not doing well. There's a lot of issues going on, and all fingers are pointing at him. And I think at this moment in time, you know, it's like this season is going to be the throwaway season. Next season, he's going to create a super team because obviously right now that's what it takes to win an NBA title is you have to have a super team. And I think he's going to – hopefully they create one over during the offseason, and then they're going to be a much better team. And we're going to be doing the same exact thing we did all season long when LeBron first went to the Lakers.
Yeah, and I do think that if he does win a championship with the Lakers, it does bring this sort of storyline back to a more positive thing because I think winning a championship with a kind of an iconic franchise does give you some marks, right? I mean, listen, I said earlier, you win a Super Bowl with the Cowboys, it's different than winning a Super Bowl with Jacksonville. It's just the way that is. It's unfortunate because I know it's unfair to Jacksonville, but that's how it goes. And you win a championship in New York, you win a World Series with the Yankees, World Series with Tampa Bay. You're an athlete, you take your pick, right? I mean, it's different. Everybody knows it's different. Winning an NBA title with the Lakers and bringing them back into championship glory is going to mean more than if he had gone free agent and went to Philadelphia or went somewhere else. And Philadelphia is a good basketball town, don't get me wrong. But it's the Lakers carry a level of championship pedigree that if he adds to that, it does enhance the things that he's done in this league. So how he got to the Lakers and how he got that championship, as messy as it seems now, isn't going to feel so much once he strips it down, brings in who he wants, and they're contending for a championship and they sort of knock Golden State out. If he can do that. I mean, maybe by that time Golden State's already out and a new team is emerging. Who knows? But whatever it is, it's going to be interesting when his story is finally written on the NBA, how people view moving and winning titles in these different cities rather than had you stayed in one place and won four titles in one particular location. I mean, think about it. If he wins a title with Los Angeles, that's Cleveland, Miami, and L.A. that he's gone to and won titles, that he went to on his own to win titles. Not drafted. He went back to Cleveland to win the title. That's a pretty good story. SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Ah, that music. You probably know the news. Luke Perry, star of Beverly Hills 90210, died yesterday at the age of 52. He had suffered a massive stroke and just did not recover. That was so shocking yesterday.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. First of all, I don't know where I was or why I didn't know that he had suffered a massive stroke. But
I remember hearing about it over the weekend that he suffered a stroke, but I just wrote it off like, you know, oh, he was hospitalized. Oh, no big deal.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't know it was that massive. It was just, you know, it's like, oh, Luke Perry was hospitalized, possible stroke. And that's all I saw and that's all I cared about. I was like, okay, well, you know, he'll bounce back. He's young.
There are shows that define, I think, like largely a good, like a decade or whatever. And this was one of them.
Oh,
I mean, this was one of them. Like Seinfeld was 90s. This was 90s. I mean, you could go like, you know, Cheers was 80s, you know, that kind of thing. But 90210 was a gigantic hit. I mean, a gigantic hit. And that's why you saw a lot of kind of older women really sad, right?
Yeah.
Because,
well,
like, get,
no,
if you're probably
older,
30, late
hey,
30s, 40s,
hey,
well,
wait
I mean,
a
if, you grew
there.
Up, if you grew up in the 90s, 30s, 40s, well, look, the 90s were 20-something years ago.
Well, I get that, but don't say they're older.
Well, older, yeah, because they're not 19.
Why, well, yeah, who cares?
Although, calm down, because I don't want to go off tangent here. I don't want to go off tangent. I'm not talking about 18-year-old girls screaming because a singer or a rapper died. I'm talking about 40-year-old business women, like, really upset that Luke Perry died because they were probably, you know, 20 when the show emerged or 18.
Yes.
And the show is 25 years old.
Oh, I know. That,
I mean, it's,
and that's what
I mean,
the,
it's
the
not
sad
like
thing
it's
was.
Like it happened yesterday. I mean, if you were 15 when the show came out, like the show gave you 40 something years old today.
Yeah. Well, that was me.
Right.
I mean,
right.
It was
that's
one of
I'm
those
saying.
Shows, and I'm sure it was similar for you that, you know, my parents were hesitant on letting me watch it. Because there's a lot of nefarious things going on in that show, you know, backstabbing, you know, bullying, and then you had the drugs and the sex that was happening. And you know, it was like still, it was like, I'm sorry, I need my 90210. This is, you know, this was the high school that I wanted to go to. I wanted to be in. I wanted to live that life.
So this was this really brought Luke Perry to the forefront. What else did he do? He was on Riverdale.
What
is Riverdale?
Riverdale is...
I don't know anything about Riverdale, but my daughter brought that up. She knew he was from Riverdale.
You might actually like it. I mean, it's
well, not anymore. He was on it.
Well, you still watch the earlier seasons.
Okay.
I'm curious. I mean,
what was it about?
It's actually the best way to describe it. It's a dark Archie comic series.
Oh, that's kind of interesting. I didn't
know
that.
All, it's Archie,
Jughead. Oh,
yeah, Jughead.
Riverdale. Now it makes sense.
Yeah, it's Archie,
okay,
Jughead,
yeah.
Betty, Veronica. They're all in it. Dylan played Archie's dad. I mean, Dylan. you know, I'm going to call him Dylan McKay from here on out. Luke Perry played Archie's dad in the show.
Okay.
And there's a... it's just, it's really dark, you know, borderline something maybe demonic going on, but not really demonic, but there's like a, you know, a dark society that I don't really know too much. I'm remembering watching the first season because basically my wife watches it, and then, you know, when she's watching it, I watch it. You know, it's one of those type of scenarios where I'm like, I didn't seek out to watch it, but then I get into it. I'm like, oh, you know, it's not that bad. But yeah, there was a murder, and then the gang is trying to figure out who the murderer was. Jughead is like a lives with his estranged father, but he's, you know, a drug user. And, you know, Veronica's father is. There's all these little convoluted stories, but basically it's a dark version of Archie in the comics or Archie.
All right,
the gang.
He played the dad.
He played the dad of Archie.
Yeah, okay.
And he got shot at one point and looked like he was going to die, but he came back and he was okay. And it's not that bad. It's really good.
Okay, I'll give it a chance. I'll give it a shot. I'm looking for something to watch. Is it on Netflix or can I watch it on demand?
I think it's on Netflix.
All right, I'll watch that.
It's definitely on demand.
Now I'll take a look at it. I think he was in a bull riding movie once.
Yeah, Luke 8 Perry. Seconds.
Like 8 Seconds? Yeah.
He was that was at the seconds. Height of his career. He was around the same time he did Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Buffy the Vampire Slayer, he was on that show. He was on a number of other shows. He was on Oz. He was on some other shows as well. So the problem is that he's typecast into Dylan McKay. That's my problem with him.
Well, that's
stumbled and call him Dylan by accident. That's what he is.
Well, that's why he did Oz. He said he chose that role. He played a traveling preacher or something along those lines, and he wanted to do something so vastly different than being the teen heartthrob James Dean wannabe.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he's a big star. Him and Jason Priestley, they were huge stars.
Littered everyone's lockers. When you photos everywhere.
It's so weird because we live in a time where television is not that big anymore. It doesn't feel like it's big anymore. There's not these big, huge television programs that everybody's watching, or at least everybody in a certain generation is watching. I feel like we just passed that era. You know, stars used to shine in a different way. Now they shine in a kind of more a less than way, right? It doesn't take much to be famous. You can play video games on YouTube and be famous, right? Like, I don't know.
Well, you just release a certain tape and you can become famous.
Yeah, I mean,
become
yesterday,
a billionaire.
It didn't take long. I was off social media for a while. I get back on it. Everybody was talking about Luke Perry. Everybody. It was unreal. Everybody was commenting on this. And I think a lot of it was the shock. He was 52. I mean, 52?
52 is, yeah, that's...
God, that's really young.
And I think it was also just the fact of how quickly it happened.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, oh, you know, you heard about him being hospitalized. But, you know, I think 99% of America did the same thing I did, which was, you know, he's hospitalized, but he's young. You know,
yeah,
he'll be fine.
Through.
You know, and I didn't really think like, you know, and I guess so many bad things happen that we don't really... put stroke as a big reason for a cause of death. I know it is, but it's so far down the list now because it feels like you can rebound from a stroke much better than you could say 20 years ago.
Yeah, that's true.
And I think that's what I chalked it up to. It was like, you know, you'll be fine.
Gosh, that is too bad. That is too bad. I always liked him.
I mean, and that show, when you talk about an iconic show that defined an era, I mean, that
it really was. It really was.
I mean, I can remember, I mean, it was risque, and if you watch it now, you'd be like, this was risque?
Oh, no kidding. Like, no, absolutely.
Compared to what's on
absolutely.
TV now. I mean, if you take that show and say, you know, I mean, I know, you know, network versus cable is completely different, but if you compare that to Game of Thrones, I mean, 90210 looks like a kid's TV show.
Yeah, and again, you're talking about, again, TV shows that sort of define a decade, right? Like, you can, when you talk... If you were to do a documentary on the 90s, which they've done before, this is a part of it. Like you would have a segment in the documentary talking about Beverly Hills 90210, about about its impact, where the stars were, where the stars went, because they were just a gigantic group of celebrities by the time that run had kind of went out its course. I mean, they were huge, and yet you look at like what show in from 2010 to now does that same thing for the last decade? Is it? I mean. I can't think of one off the top of my head because I don't really watch television that much.
Well, we talked about it last week with the last episode of MASH, how it was one of the more watched episodes to have occurred in television history. I remember the last episode of 90210, there being watch parties for that.
Oh, of course.
It was like we're saying goodbye to our high school buddies and we don't want to. And the other one that always sticks out in my mind was how much of a big deal it was when Brenda and Dylan had the sex.
Now forget it.
I mean, it was so taboo even talk about that on TV. And here we had, high school. I mean, there was, I just remember like, conservatives just going bonkers over. I'm not just saying like political party conservatives. I mean, just people who are conservative in general saying you can't have that on TV. That's going to manipulate the youth of America. And, it was just like, that was 90210 was a teen drama that was pushing boundaries.
Yeah, there are barriers in television that need to get knocked down by whatever force is coming along, right? Whatever popular television show is on TV, there are certain barriers that get knocked down because of it. And 90210 did that. Did that. There was a couple of others that also, made that move. You think about the 70s and you think about what All in the Family was doing, right? I mean, All in the Family was using parody to the Archie Bunker character to mock racism and homophobia and everything, all of that stuff. It kind of backfired in a way because Archie Bunker became a beloved character, but that was the intent. It was trying to break that down. It was trying to break down those barriers. The stodgy old man in Queens, and he's grouchy about every race and every culture, and it was supposed to be mocked and whatnot. But television has always done that, and this is one of those shows that did do that, that did knock down a few taboos in television, where you do look back and you say, wow, I can't believe it was so risque back then, because now we're doing this all the time with all of these shows. You look at the catalyst for those things, and this was on that list, and Luke Perry was a part of it, and it's still amazing to me. It's still at 52 years old. He's dead. Wow.
Yeah.
It's really incredible. Really incredible. All right. 800-777-2907. I didn't want to go without mentioning that because it feels we do some pop culture on the show. This is beyond pop culture. This was a major, major, iconic star that died at a young age, a very young age. It's really amazing. Again, I didn't know he had a stroke.
It was one of those things. That, I mean, I was addicted to Twitter yesterday. I was addicted to USA Today. It's like, I want to know more information. I want to know what other celebrities are saying. And I'm still searching. Like, I want to know what his castmates. I mean, I've read, already what, Gabrielle Cartier who played Andrea on the show. And, there's like some smaller role players or later in the show players who have came out in common. But I'm addicted. I was like, I want to know what Jason Priestley is saying or Shannon Doherty.
Did you find any of those?
No, I haven't yet. Either. No. I want to see what they have to say because, I mean, the way I look at it is it's like, that was his first girlfriend. That was his best friend in high school. And, they grew up together. And I think in a way they did kind of grow up together because, they were young on that TV show and learned how to become actors together and, came of age together.
Yeah, totally, totally.
Sad.
Didn't one of the guys one of the guys on the show marry Megan Fox?
Yeah, that was Brian Austin Green.
Yeah, he married Megan Fox.
He hasn't even came out with a statement yet.
I didn't see anything yet.
Want to know.
All right, coming up, I found a very cool thing for you baseball card nuts that brings back some nostalgia. I'll tell you what that is. It's coming up on SB Nation Radio.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us here on SB Nation Radio. And this hour of SB Nation Radio is presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Michael on Twitter, Luke Perry as a reverend on Oz reminds me of the dichotomy of Henry Winkler playing a wimp on Night Shift with Michael Keaton. I was stunned watching the Fonz get pushed around. Yeah, isn't that weird? We do that with actors, like with characters. We just can't get over who they are. And it's so difficult. It takes a while. It takes a number of roles before you start separating who they're known for.
And honestly, I think that's why Henry Winkler has had a resurgence in his career, because now he's older and far removed from being the Fonz.
Yeah.
That we don't, like, you know, when you see him in Waterboy or, you know, in a number of the Adam Sandler movies or anything he does on TV, I don't really look at him like, oh, you were the Fonz.
No, he's been doing so much, and he looks so much older, so he's been doing so much other. But you're right. But I can imagine, like, that first couple of times he was doing something other than the Fonz would drive you crazy. You know, like, I always wondered about Kelsey Grammer. Like, he played Frasier for, like, 20-something years. Like, when he was doing other things, I was like, how do you do other things?
Like, now, for me, it seems like he takes every role as a villain.
Yeah.
I mean, just a villain. I mean, as far even down to being a cartoon character in Toy Story, he was the villain.
Yeah, right. That's right.
But
it's,
I mean, it goes
so
to show,
hard.
Like, you know, we've never really seen Alan Alda do anything in television again.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, because if we did, and still to this day, I still, you know, because his look hasn't changed that much, because he was always kind of a tall, stringy individual, that I still see Hawkeye.
That's got to be tough. It's got to be tough for an actor when you get so locked into a role. I was watching, and I didn't see a lot of it, but I was watching this show. I forget the title, but Steve Buscemi's in it, and he plays God. It's on TBS, and Daniel Radcliffe's on it. Harry Potter's on it, and I was like, my God, how tough is that? And I know he's been doing movies. He's been in a couple of movies that haven't really, been box office successes. But my God, it's like, oh God, I played from a kid all the way up to my, teenage years. I played the same character from when he was 8 years old to when he was 18. And I got to get out of this. I've got to make myself an actor, for crying out loud. I'm not this character. I've got to be able to make a living doing other gigs. I can't be typecast into this.
I think that's why the first thing he did after the Harry Potter series was get naked in a play.
Sure. Got to get out of that.
Got to do anything to... You know, but I mean, the one I always look at is Star Wars. You know, Mark Hamill and Carrie Fisher were very quickly typecasted. Somehow, some way, Harrison Ford was able to escape it.
Yeah, Harrison Ford was able to escape it. Mark Hamill, though, made it so, like, he made himself a good living as a voice actor.
Yes.
Right? He did in some other things. I think he's still doing that. Yeah, he still plays
a Joker in one of the Batman cartoons.
Yeah, exactly.
That's still airing.
Yeah, it's totally, totally weird. It's just, I don't know. It's hard. Like, you think as an adult, even as an adult, knowing the business, like knowing acting, I'm like, I'm not watching, the Fonz or Harry Potter. I'm watching this guy act. But yet you still, my brain doesn't do that. It still doesn't process that very well. All right, it's SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio. Hit us up on Twitter @ Tony D Radio and @ Ron Culver and Ron with two N's as we roll along on a Tuesday morning.